In the book of John, Jesus states, I believe, 5 or 6 times who he is. He states, I am the living water. Jesus states, I am the bread of life. Jesus states these 5 or 6, I don't remember, maybe 7, I ams. And if you notice all those I ams, he never said, I am not this. He always said, I am this. Whenever you have this, and then we can go back to the book of Exodus, and there's a gentleman named Moses, and the thing about it, he was growing up for 40 years in a palace, but he knew who he was of his heritage of being a Hebrew gentleman. And then with that, after 40 years, he goes, I'm going to meet a redeemer, aka hero of the story. I'm going to take out this Egyptian. Well, they found out that he killed this Egyptian, and guess what he did? He ran into the desert. And he was in the desert for 40 years. So for now, he's 80 years old. Some of you are older than that. Some of you are younger. So the thing about it, your calling's not done with the age. Sometimes it's just the beginning. And so he married this lady, and they had 2 kids. And but this time he's taking care of his dad, his in-laws' flock. And why he's minding his own business on the backside of the mountain, the bush started catching on fire. I don't know about you. If I saw a bush caught on fire and it was not burning down, I don't know if I wanted to go investigate that. But Moses was drawn to it because it was God. And because he was drawn to it, God spoke through that bush and said, Moses, take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. What makes the ground holy? You don't make it holy, but God makes it holy. What makes finances holy? God makes it holy. What makes your life holy? God makes your life holy. And so the thing about it, you can't do anything to make your life holy besides being set apart by God, and God set you apart. And so Moses whipped off his sandals, probably had those non-tied shoes, which are beautiful. Don't judge me because I don't like tying my shoes. But the thing about it, he slips off his untied sandals, and he's standing there, and God goes, I got a plan, and you're involved. Moses goes, I don't want to be involved. Okay, this is my translation. And God goes, too bad, too sad, you're coming with me. Because now you're going to be the redeemer I need you to be. The way I want to redeem the nation of Israel. And so they're having this conversation, and Moses says, I cannot speak well. What did Jesus say? He always says, I am this and this and this. Moses is saying, I am not a word. And then eventually he comes around and goes, okay, God, if you're sending me, who do I tell people who's sending me? And God spoke through the bush and says, I am who I am. And not Popeye the Sailor Man either. He's saying, I am. Tell them I am sending you. And so when Jesus spoke those words of saying, I am, he's saying, I was back in the bush with Moses. And you think about it, when we speak who we are, that's what we become. Think about it for a moment. If you say, I am good for nothing, why would you say that when you're a child, when you're a creation of God? See, I am, in your mind and in your spirit, cries out for who you are. And so when you cry out, say, I am. So when you wake up in the morning, when you leave here today, don't go home and say, well, I am not good enough for this, that. Because guess what? You will start believing that. See, when Jesus mentioned I am, when Moses was with the fire and God says, I am who I am, is sending you, he's saying, everything you need, I have, and it's going to be yours at your disposal. And when Jesus sent out his disciples, and then in the 72, he goes, go out because I'm sending you. Who's sending them? The great I am. And being the great I am, you can declare over your life and say, I am. Don't say, I'm not organized. That might be the truth, but if you want to change the truth, you have to start speaking over your life and say, I am able to be organized. Well, I'm just going to be poor all my life. Why are you declaring defeat? Declare, I am going to be blessed by God. Don't declare what you don't have. Declare what God's going to do, what he is doing. So many times we're like, well, I don't know. And God chastised me so much over this week of saying, why are you declaring things I never called you to? You ever notice that? That people say, they declare things that God never told them about who they are. Well, I'm never going to figure this out. Why are you limiting yourself? Why are you limiting the God who gives you all knowledge that way? Says, I'm going to figure this out one way or another. You might have to go get some help. But guess what? Help is not bad. Help is on the way. But when we declare, I am, don't put it with a bad wording, or I'm going to say cussing. Cussing is not just a four-letter word that you can't say around your parents. Okay, that was me growing up. Or you shouldn't say around certain people. Cussing is when you speak negatively into that situation. So rather than say, such, we're going to take Lori for an example. The doctor says back in December 14th, I got a text message saying she'll never ever leave the hospital. That's a curse. And what's cursed? That's cursing. Anything that's negative is a curse. And when you speak negatively over your finances, over your family, over your spouse, over your kids, over your car, over your health, over your mind, over whatever you're doing, you're putting a curse on that. And so many times we just accept it. And so when I got that text message, I'm like, the doctors have no clue the God I serve, first of all. Second of all, the doctors aren't prophets. They have no right to determine people's health. Doctors are okay to fix arms. We need doctors. I'm not saying that. They're useful, but they cannot predict the future. My God already knows the future. So the Tuesday before I left, I visited her. I get a text message from her daughter. Hey, she's been able, the doctor have given her the ability to be released from the hospital. Think about that. 2 months ago, They said there's no way she's going to walk out of that hospital or get pushed out or whatever, besides on a gurney. I saw her Friday. She's still in the hospital, but she's getting rehab. We're praying for a rehab place locally in Rochester or maybe down Austin or wherever. She's drinking water. 2 weeks ago, she was barely holding down ice chips. And then they have a feeding. Now they have not just an IV for liquids. Now they have a feeding, for lack of better terms, tube, where it looks like they have an Ensure-type milkshake going into her system. And 2 weeks ago, she was not able to handle that. She was still bedridden-ish. Chair-ridden-ish. Thursday, she walked 40 feet with a walker. Don't tell me words don't have power. I'm telling you, you can take this curse and you can break those curses off because they're not from God. Start claiming and proclaiming, I am a child of God. As a believer, I'm a child of God. I'm a servant of the Most High God. And everything I need, He's going to give me. And not just that, guess what? He says, you'll provide for my desires. We had a desire to go to Colorado. Guess what? My God provided. How? I don't know. All I know, everything's His. So whatever I have is His. Don't worry about Lois. God's going to provide. God's going to take care of it. See, so many times, you know something we do? We make people, we make finances, we make events gods, rather than God Almighty. What I mean by this, that God will tell us, go on a missions trip. And all of a sudden we realize it's going to be $2,000. I can't go. But didn't God just tell you to go? And all of a sudden we're sitting back and saying, then who's God? God who told you to go? Or the finances that you said you wouldn't be able to pay? Finances is not my God. If God tells me to go, I'm supposed to go. How? I don't know. It's up to me to obey, and it's up to God to provide. And so many times we'll think, well, this just happened, I can't go. Didn't you know that God already knew that was going to happen before He told you to do it? Well, it might make it more difficult, might make it a little bit harder. But you still have to obey God. When God speaks, we get to obey. And we get to go, we get to do that. We get to partner with the great I Am, the one that spoke in the bush. You think about the one that told Moses, go down and get my people free. You ever been told God tell you to do something? Like, yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be easy. And it turns out to be work. You think about it, Moses got this download from God and told him to go. And Moses came up with excuses. I can't speak well. Don't you think God already knew his impediments? Don't you know that God already knows your hookups and your hangups and your issues? So what? Where we are weak,
He is strong.
He is strong. It's okay to be weak. I hate. This is going to ruffle some feathers, but I'm okay with that. You ever been to a funeral where people say, I just got to be strong for that person? It's not your job to be strong for other people. It's your job to allow the Holy Spirit to be strong for them. Well, I don't want to cry because my cries will show me how weak. How many of you guys have heard that before? Big boys don't cry. The little kid's hurting, and they need to cry. They need to be weak. So God can be strong. See, Moses was weak in speech. And he used that, like, I can't do that, Lord. But eventually him and his brother went down and said, all right, Pharaoh, let my people go. Now, what? Lord, this wasn't in my plans. You ever tell the God that? Lord, this is not the way I planned it. Lord, this Pharaoh guy should be obeying me because I went with your authority. Jerry, you got the authority. You can declare I am set free. See, we sang a song, goodbye yesterday. I'm no longer, now I'm dancing on the grave. I just think about it. Had to bow. But when you say goodbye to the problems of the hangups and of the grave of yesterday, I am free. There's an old Newsboys song. I am free to dance. I am free to run. I am free. The word says, he who sets you free, you're set free. He wants to set you free. But so many times, we'll curse everything that's wrong with us. You know, growing up, I thought my mom was weird. Then I realized she is. How many of you talk to your plants?
I probably do.
I was going to say, well, what you probably do. But her plants are big and healthy. There was science that came out that says if you talk the life over your plants, they grow healthier. And then if you get birds like in your house, they actually help open up the flowers in the spring, summer, and fall. Now the flowers close up. And when do birds start seeing? When they rarely see the light. And what they're doing is saying, come on, flowers, wake up. Let's sing. Come on, let's go. So if you're not a morning person, you probably don't want a bird singing to you. But like a flower is a morning thing. It sings. And I'm telling you that we need to speak life to grow healthier. Stop cursing the ground around you. Stop cursing your kids. Stop cursing your grandkids, your great-grandkids. You ever hear the saying? You're going to be like Uncle Max or Rune or whoever because, and he's been in and out of, that's cursing that child. Start saying, you're going to be like this person who's going to live for Christ forever. Because even in the Bible, it says either Proverbs, I believe it's Proverbs, there's power in the tongue, in the mouth of what we say. And we can either speak life or death over this situation. That's the reason why when a doctor says you have this, oh, my body might have it, but it doesn't control me. I have power and authority over it. And I speak life into my blood system. I believe life into my cells, my white blood cells, my red blood cells. Speak life into it. Rather than say, well, I guess I'm... No, you don't have to keep living with the game on guard. You can speak life into that. You don't have to walk in defeat. You know, we got property down in Haiti. Think about that. A year ago, that wasn't even on our radar. Now, we have a pastor down there who needs our prayers because with his mommy passing away and another family passing away, he needs our prayers. But I'm telling you right now, I'm praying over that government. Because whatever has been cursed on that field needs to be broken off. I want to tell Kirby now, pray over that. Have your pastor, our pastor, done. Take some oil and anoint that ground so that it's dedicated to God. Because when you dedicate it to God, you'll produce more things. And we're going to pray life over it. But it's going to be work. Thank God they're doing the work and not me. I got a big enough garden. I don't need another acre and a half. But that's a large garden. That's a field and a half. But the thing about it, the board's like, let's do it, Pastor. They were pushing me to a point of saying, I'm like, whoa. But the thing about it, the board's like, let's do it. Because guess what? It's not our finances, it's God's. It's God's land. It's God's finances. So we need to speak life. Whether it's saying, oh, this is a small, why don't we say, you know something? We got the Spirit moving in our church. That's what, and then I was going to go into 1 Corinthians chapter 2, but I don't think I will. I think this was more urgent. Because we need to speak life to one another. There's a song that we sing sometimes, and we're going to sing it at the end here. May the Lord bless you and keep you. It's the blessing song. But we're not going to sing it to God. You're going to find people and you're going to sing it to one another. Because guess what? You need to have blessings in your life, not curses. You need to hang out with people that will speak life to you. Like, hey, you can make it. If I can go 2 months really without sugar, without ice cream, without pizza, without these other things that I really desire, soda, I had a few French fries here and there. You can do whatever you're walking through. Warm your face and you can deal with it because God's on your side and you're on God's side. And when you're on God's side, it says, it doesn't matter who's against us because God is for us. I don't care what you face because when you speak life into your situation, when you speak life into those issues, whether it's saying, well, I guess I'm a drunk, I'm always going to be a drunk. No, that's the wisdom of the world. The wisdom of God says you're set free and you're no longer bound by those addictions. Once an addict, always an addict. How many of you ever heard that? I've heard that in my entire life. You're not an addict anymore when you're a child of God. You're broke, you're set free, you're good. Well, I still have a desire. You know what you do with desires? You either embrace them or you reject them. Some desires you should embrace. Like the desire to get closer to God, desire to have a healthy relationship with people, desire to give more to God, desire to grow closer, desire to take a shower. That's a good desire. A desire to clean yourself up, desire to work out, a desire to eat healthy. Those are the desires that you should embrace. But there's some desires you need either to flee or you need to resist. You can't resist without the Holy Spirit. The desire of sexual immorality, you need to flee. Because you'll never be strong enough to stand on your own. You need to flee. And that comes out of the book of Genesis, where Joseph and Potiphar's wife, she was making some moves on that man. I mean, you think ladies make moves now? They were doing way back in Genesis, y'all. And guess what he did? He goes, I'm out of here because she's going to suck me into a bedroom where I don't need to be because she's not mine. Think about it. Marriage, have as much passion as you want. Enjoy it. Outside of marriage, flee from it. The other temptation, you can resist. The guy goes, draw close to me, resist the devil, and guess what? Guess who gets to flee? The devil will flee. So if you're online or whatever, and the temptation to click on this thing, flee from it, because you can't resist it. Put up blockers. Put things in the way to make you trip and fall before you trip and fall. We were driving out in Colorado. Most roads have a shoulder, then they have a guardrail, then they have a little bit more shoulder, then you have your cliff. There's a two-lane highway we took on both sides, and it was starting to snow a little. Literally, there was no shoulder. It wasn't that big of a drop-off, probably 8 feet or so, but it would ruin the van, and it hurt us a lot. And I'm like, I'm not coming back this way without no guardrails. It's okay to have guardrails, because they'll keep you. You ever go bowling? These little kids have these guardrails. Those are the best inventions for Cletus and his ball. I've seen him bowl. He needs them. No, actually, he's a pretty good bowler. But the thing about it, you need to speak life. And Jesus says every idle word we say. Think about it. Idle word. There is no such thing as an idle word. Everything you said. You ever say something and you're like, oh man, I shouldn't have said it. Like, oh, dang. I should have just kept my mouth shut. I had that experience yesterday. I was tempted to say things, but the Holy Spirit said, not right now. You're too emotionally wrapped up. Keep your mouth shut, young man. And I did. I just left. Because I was too charged. Because I didn't want to say anything. Because if I had said something, it came out as a curse. And I don't want to have word curses. I spoke over people. I want to speak life, health, and wholeness. So when you go back, when the Lord, when people curse, it's not just a four-letter word or a three-letter word or whatever. It's a lot more than that. And you need to speak life and say, you know something? Well, I guess I've smoked cigarettes all my life. I guess I'm going to keep smoking. Why curse yourself? Why don't you say, I can break this habit because I am a new creation in Christ. You might have to keep saying that over and over and over and over. But eventually, I do believe and I do declare you will be changed. Give yourself a week and you'll start looking at things. You ever meet somebody who says, praise the Lord about everything? You're like, man, they're too heavenly good for earth. Heavenly minded. Maybe we should be more heavenly minded in speaking life. Well, what if they don't change? I don't care. I'm going to change my attitude towards you. The greatest thing you can do in your marriage or in your relationship is start speaking life over yourself and you start changing. You know, most conflicts starts with yourself. Think about it. If you're upset, who do you take it out on? Somebody else. Usually it's the one you love the most. Like you're having a bad day, and all of a sudden they do something to bug you. I mean, I would never do that to my family. See? And all of a sudden, you didn't know they're having a bad day or something's wrong or something like that, and you push a button. What do? They take it out on you, right? But you didn't do anything. But the thing about it, that's when you're like, oh, we have to make sure that we speak life still, even when we are angry. Because it says, be angry and sin not. So it's okay to be, I was angry yesterday, but I chose not to sin. I chose to not to curse this sin. And so I had to divert my hands. And it still worked out great. So the thing about it, speak life over the church, over your family, over your relationships, over your health, over your mind, over everything. Just speak life. And when you speak life, you'll have abundant of life. When you speak curses, you're going to have abundant curses. Wherever you sow, a lot of times we think that's with seeds and with finances and stuff. How about your voice? I mean, I love picking on people. I mean, that's one thing I do great. I am a certified picker on. And sometimes I pick on people at the wrong time. Imagine that. And then they come across the greatest. And so then I have to go back and say, great. Sorry about that. I didn't mean it that way. I was just trying to be silly. But those are idle words that can get implanted in somebody's head. That's not God. And if I've done that to you, I'm sorry. Because I'm trying, and the Lord's convicted me like, hey, be warm. Because if you look for the negative, you can find a lot of negative. Whole bunch of them. I got a lot there. But if you look for the positive in me, I have a whole bunch more positive in me. Wherever you want to look at, wherever you want to speak into, that's what you get. So even your words will sow seeds of either unity and blessings or discord and destruction. And so I want to encourage you to speak life to one another. I mean, every time, if you ask Gary how he's doing, what does, without Gary responding, what does he say? What does Gary, hey Gary, how are you doing?
Fantastic.
Would you rather hear, hey, I'm doing fantastic, then here's my list of woes that the doctor told me. I mean, I guarantee you, not everything's fantastic in his life, but I guarantee you, his voice, his attitude is like, look what God's doing. He's an amazing guy. You know, I guarantee you, you ask him tomorrow, how you doing? I mean, I guarantee you, he's going to show up to heaven and the pearly gates or whatever. Doing, hey, how you doing here? I'm fantastic now. I'm in heaven. Why? Because he looks at the bright side of things. Now, he could be a Debbie Downer. I mean, well, but guess what? He's not. We need to change. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to come in and speak through us, rather than always saying Debbie Downer. Oh, man, we got lost snow. Praise the Lord. You know what the snow's going to do for the farmers? Mm-hmm. Praise God. The ground's warming up, so now it can make this snow. Well, it was cold. Well, praise the Lord. Apples are going to be crisper. You know, I do pray for global warming on the soil. Because I'm not a big fan of the cold anymore. But the thing about it, we either can complain, but guess what? We're in March, y'all. We're in March.
Spring's on the way.
Spring's literally right around the corner. It's literally, according to the sun and stuff, 21 days-ish until the officials. And guess what? It's light out until they change my clock next week. Almost at 6:15 in the morning. How awesome is that? When we get the extra hour of light in the night.